Welcome to the Everything Podcast, the place for everything education. Whether you're a first-year teacher or a seasoned educator, our mission is to help you employ smart strategies in and out of the classroom.
We firmly believe that teacher burnout isn't inevitable. Part inspiration and part implementation, we discuss the why and how to make your classroom effective and sustainable.
We're your hosts, Danielle
and Nicole. You're listening to an episode of the Everything Podcast. Hey, Danielle, how are you holding up over there?
Schoolwork, family, taking care of work, you know, all the things.
All the things. I give you so much credit with your little family. You're working multiple jobs, so it seems, having a lot of responsibility. Responsibility you probably didn't envision for yourself and even a couple of weeks ago, and I'm sure it's been quite a change. I know I'm feeling it too.
That is absolutely correct. But we're figuring it out. And that's part of why we decided to record this episode in the first place. Obviously, you and I are not experts in this. We are going through this with everyone else. And we're hoping that by sharing our experience, everyone can maybe take away something that will work for them.
Absolutely. All about keeping the positivity strong. And It's important to acknowledge that, you know, everyone is experiencing this from very different ends of the spectrum. And For those that are finding it difficult to focus, find this to be, you know, a challenging time, we're right there with you. And for those that are looking to kind of make that challenging time into more of a structured, productive time, we are even more with you on that. And we, you know, as we mentioned, want to keep that positivity up and continue to make these school days feel as they really are school days, and use this time to how you and I, Danielle, we feel our best selves as teachers, educators in this space. So we're trying to keep it all as productive as we feel comfortable. And that's what we're here to chat about today.
Yeah, and it will not come as a surprise to those who have been to us for a long time that we're going to talk about routines and what that means in this new remote learning environment.
And I feel like one of the biggest hurdles for me personally was kind of embracing the mystery of all of this. Mm-hmm. The fact that we don't know what a few days from now, weeks from now, look like from a school setting perspective, from an education perspective, and kind of trying to embrace that and understanding how that may even breed a little bit of creativity. Mm-hmm. And for those that are also teacher side hustlers, we know that just because our schools, you know, have changed from regular physical locations to online, you know, the side hustling doesn't stop there either. You know, things have continued on, and trying to embrace it and really lean into the opportunity that lies there and the ability for a little bit more creativity, and trying just to, you know, move past the, you know, trusting the unknown, I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
Trusting the unknown.
I know, obviously, my home life looks very different right now. And that's because, obviously, I have a just over 1 year old here.
I made a comment on Instagram recently about, you know, I showed a picture of my coffee mug and I said, home office. And then I said, Well, truly, what room in your house isn't your home office at this point?
Right.
We're all making the best use that we can of the space that we can. And Everyone's reality looks a little bit different, but we're all kind of bonded by the same reality, is that we're all adapting. We're trying our best to make it work. And as you mentioned, Routines is a really, really big part of that. And we do want to reference an episode that we did way back when we featured our first ever podcast guest, Michelle Hamilton. We talked about how her morning routine really sets her up for success. Talks about fitness and the importance of having sort of like a ritual kind of routine in her daily life and the benefits that she's seen with that. And, you know, we took it a step further and talked about the ways that we set up our school day for success in the way that we end our day in the afternoon. Yeah. So you're absolutely right, Danielle. We've done a lot of chatting about this, and we kind of want to just, you know, start to reframe the way that we have seen our school days be their most productive and try to kind of change that in the way that our virtual school day can be its best day.
Yes, without a doubt. And I know that in the coming weeks, we definitely want to tackle this issue of how can we kind of create the classroom experience remotely. And I do think that starting with routines, both for ourselves and our students, first step to getting there.
I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, it does come down to mindset for teachers. It also comes down to having sort of a visual aid to help us with that. Mm-hmm. And that's where our handy dandy freebie comes in, because you were nice enough, Danielle, to put together a freebie that allows teachers to see how exactly to visualize what those school day, virtual school day kinds of tasks might look like, and how to see this as maybe what seemed so natural and organic in your regular school day, and now trying to just shift it a little bit to adapt it to your virtual school day. So definitely check that out on our website and on our TPT store.
And we think that the things that makes it easiest to come up with some structure to our routine is about it in terms of class time, during class time, and our after school, our after climb. And your school probably a policy about like what time. Yes, we are talking about how to make the most of those hours, but also that there is that cutoff, especially when we're working from home right now, it can feel a little bit messy. So we're hoping that by giving you a checklist for what to think about in each of these blocks, you can make the most of those times and make sure that you're using your time as effectively as possible.
And I think that, you know, as you mentioned, we are going to segment this to talk about how teachers move about their day and then how students do the same mm-hmm. with their procedures. Yeah. And I think that having this to tee off that kind of sequence is, I think that it'll really make the way that we speak to our students and the way that we explain to our parents about these procedures a little bit easier. When you're able to put words around, but when you're able to put language around how you know, yourself are setting up your classroom, your lessons, maybe the announcements that you're posting on your LMS, the way that you're communicating to your students, I think also will kind of mimic how they should move about their day and hopefully start to just continue that chain reaction, because we know that it's so new for everyone.
Right.
Students are learning, parents are learning right alongside them. It's a lot to take on. So I think that this is a great first step, is for us to address how teachers are starting their day and moving through their day.
Let's get right into it. So in terms of the class routine, Nicole, do you have a system of what you do?
I do want to mention one personal routine that I do have in place. Mm-hmm. And I certainly tested this because I was like, wow, I've never worked from home before. I wonder what it will feel like for me to come out of, you know, roll out of bed and sit in my pajamas, you know, maybe just for the first couple of hours. Mm-hmm. Didn't work out so well.
Yeah.
Didn't enjoy it. Really made the school day feel a lot longer. I didn't feel professional.
Yeah.
And it certainly didn't make me feel like I was getting through my day the same way. And that's a personal statement. Everyone has their own points of view on this. But that was something that I was like, wow, I finally get to work from home. I don't have to wake up at X time. Mm-hmm. It feels great. Let me try this. And it did not work out for me. So that's just a personal note.
To follow up on that, I'm still setting my alarm for pretty much the same exact time that I would if I still had to commute to my physical classroom, just so that way I have a little bit of buffer time before my son wakes up. And
that is smart.
I have been really useful because, similar to you, thinking to myself, well, what does this look like? What can I kind of like come up with as maybe an advantage of this new work from home? That extra totally not worth having my son be my alarm clock. So
a way that my mom and I have tried to frame it as well is we use our what would have been our commute time to work to do a little workout together.
Nice.
And that's been nice. I mean, you think about how that time is normally used in whatever routine you have for yourself. Maybe you're listening to the Everything podcast. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're jamming out to some music, maybe you're sitting in silence and, you know, just trying to kind of use that time, what you normally would have lost in so to speak, and using that in a more, I'm going to say it again, productive way.
Yeah. And I think that deciding to use that time in terms of getting that exercise in, I think is such a great use of time. And I think that obviously everyone's daily routine is going to look a little bit different, and there's no one right way, but making sure that you've scheduled that bell ringing or after the final bell ringing routine, I think is so important.
Couldn't agree more. So that definitely speaks to the personal kind of checklist that I have for myself. And it sounds like you have that as well, Danielle.
Yeah.
And when it comes to how I set up my day, you know, for my classroom, I certainly have a checklist for that as well. And we're using a similar we're both using Google Classroom to post all of our assignments, to keep things organized. That's where I do my attendance. You know, there's a lot that happens there. Yep. And as we chatted about offline, we have due dates, we have alarms set, I have times associated with different deadlines for my students. And that is very important to them, I've come to find. You know, for a lot of students, they're getting millions of emails, it probably feels like, of different teachers making announcements of different things, reminding them of when things are due. So I try and respect the fact that they're really relying on those exact times and dates associated with what I post, and really just triple check what it is that I've put on there. I have a rotating schedule, so no day is the same, which there's a lot of beauty in that, but there's also a lot of organization involved as well, keeping things super organized and making sure that I always have things associated with the right day and keeping on track with who needs what. So that's a huge one, is just making sure that my deadlines, my due dates, everything is in order. And I also like to use my weekly lesson plan template that I have every week. And I like to make announcements. I actually will set it up all on Sundays, so that I'll, which is when I write my lesson plans. It doesn't have to be Sunday. That's just what I do. And I have announcements scheduled for each of my periods for each of the day. So I'll actually end up copying and pasting that. So it's just a little bit easier for me to move through each class period in real time and just continue to, you know, update every stream of my Google Classroom that I need to with my morning announcement, my objective, my step-by-step, and then my goals. So I just kind of have that ready to go. And I apologize if that was a little too specific, but I just wanted to be clear about the way that, you know, I see my morning as being really important as far as getting the organization in order.
Yeah, I have a similar kind of ritual that I go through when it comes to my before the first bell rings routine, where I go through and I double check, because especially if I have scheduled, making sure that my posts have like a good solid like 5 minute buffer time, because I think given the amount of stress at Google Classroom, I found that they tend to run about 2 to 3 minutes later than what I had wanted them to. So that's why as a buffer, I tend to do 5 to 8 minutes, depending on what type. But I go in there and I make sure that I have all of the right times for the scheduling and right days of the week for the scheduling, because as you've probably noticed, by default, the next day at that time. So in addition to Google Classroom, we still need to make sure that our regular LMS is updated, especially because that's usually the way that parents will try to get in touch with us. So I make sure that that is up to date, and have my email up in case they just directly had emailed me. Because if one system goes down, I want to make sure that I know about it before the bell rings, if possible.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because I think we've all been in that situation at least once.
I couldn't agree more. And I feel like it does definitely continue on when we think of our in-class procedures. When we start the day, it tees us off for a great school day, we hope.
Yeah.
And as you know, Danielle, students are hungry for work, and having everything ready to go, having it maybe even in draft format, ready to be posted in real time, your day moves pretty quickly. I mean, at least in my opinion, because I feel, you know, I am in real time with my students, interacting with them, whether it is on a video chat, audio, or in real time with feedback that I'm providing them. And I do feel like my school day does fly by, and especially when it comes to the actual in-class procedures that I have for my students, I feel like I'm truly, my hand cannot move fast enough on my mouse pad. I am trying my best to post things in as little amount of time as possible. And my students are quite impatient, especially when I do have things set for certain timers to be released and they don't show up. So I'll tend to do them all on my own. And, you know, I find that saving a draft of something and then publishing it also helps to save a bit of time and stress in the moment as well.
Yeah, I've had students who have worked through things like a little bit faster than I had anticipated. And I would have whatever the next activity is, you know, all scheduled, and they'll post stream like, what do I do after the due now or whatever. And for the first 2 days where I was like posting things in kind of separate places in the stream, I'd be like, great job, Jordan, but you're actually ahead of the game. In 2 minutes, you'll see the next activity post.
Yeah.
because I wanted them to acknowledge that, like, I know that I'm right here and I know what the next step is, because when you can't see that person, it's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird. So I've had the same challenge, because I've had students who will fly through things, others who are working at much slower paces. So I try and remind them, like in my own classroom, I mean, I pace everything,
right?
You know, what I feel is really related back to what my students need. And it's really hard to gauge when everyone is online. Mm-hmm. So I have actually started just posting everything at once, and I will write kind of like an outline for them as far as what to complete in
yes.
what sequence.
Yep.
Just due to the stress, you know, it does add that extra level of stress when you have students commenting, I need
right.
blank, or
yep.
where is this, or how do I get to this? So I found that that's reduced my stress level a little bit, is just to set those goals, set the outline for them, and then post everything at once so that they do have access. And then I also find that students prefer to do things. Sometimes they like to move through the homework before they want to move through the Ed puzzle video, right? So it really, I think, is okay to have it in a different order, unless you do have a special circumstance where things really are sequential and they need that sequence.
Well, it sounds like we've kind of naturally transitioned into what our class time routine looks like. So I know my decisions of how I've structured class have already changed from the very first day of remote learning till now. You had mentioned that you do like classroom announcements that you have scheduled kind of from the beginning of the week all the way through. I actually write my classroom announcement wrapping up whatever we had gotten through last night, and then whatever I would have kind of given as the verbal announcement that day. Like, it's really casual, mm-hmm. informal, and kind of like setting them up for like this is what class looks like, and telling them what that day's structure will be. And most of the time it's really, really similar to the previous day's structure, but if there's anything I need them to kind of like keep on their radar as a reminder, I want to be giving out an extra credit assignment, something like that, I like to post an announcement post in Google Classroom. Then I like to have my classwork post, and I'm in the same thing. So even if I have part of it is a like pre-recorded video that I made for them, and then after that they're going to read a nonfiction passage, and that's going to like keep the discussion going, and then I have my yep. Exit ticket. I am still doing in Socrative because we've done that for the entire school year, and I didn't want to abandon that just because we've gone remote. They're all really comfortable with that technology. At the end of my like daily classroom routine, in that same document that I've posted, it has the reminder to go over to Socrative.
Well, it sounds like you're still using a lot of the same procedures that you did in your mm-hmm. traditional classroom, in your virtual classroom, which I know for me, I've tried to do a lot of the same as well. And I think it really does provide a comfort for the students. You know, I know a lot of them look forward to a lot of the games,
yep.
activities, different tasks that we do. So trying to maintain that, I think, it's nice. And it provides that level of structure that I know that they're looking for. So something that I have just been so curious about throughout this entire experience of virtual learning is how my students truly feel about this experience and what it has meant to them to have all of their classes online, to communicate with their teachers online. I mean, I just can't get enough feedback. Like, I just continue to ask them. I keep making Google forms, mm-hmm. surveys. Like, I just want all the feedback. And something that I found really interesting, and it was kind of across the board, is students were speaking about how they found it challenging that normally in a classroom setting, you'd have sort of a quick conversation or a remark from teachers about, oh, you know, this is for a classwork grade, or this Socrative, you know, exit ticket will act as your homework mm-hmm. substitute grade, or whatever that kind of in-person quick conversation might be, or maybe it would be somewhere posted mm-hmm. somewhere. But a lot of my students have been responding that, you know, one of the biggest challenges of virtual learning is because everything involves an online task, it's difficult to know which truly counts for what. And, you know, I think, you know, that feedback did give me a lot to think about. And I have since adjusted the way that I structure my announcements and the schedule of the day. I try to make sure it's extremely clear what will be counted for what category, or maybe it's just a fun activity and it doesn't count at all. And just trying to make sure that students, you know, that level of communication, we ask it from them. And I want to make sure that I'm providing that same courtesy. I think that it's important that students, you know, I feel a lot of the feedback we've been getting is students are just working nonstop on their computers. It's never ending. And, you know, a lot of teachers have that same feeling as well. And I just think that that's been a big takeaway from my feedback that I've gotten from students, is just being very clear about the assessments that you're providing, the activity that you're providing, and what it means as far as the grade book is concerned.
What you're really talking about is students are anxious about a lot of things right now. They don't need to be about whether or not this is in the way they thought it was going to be graded, because it doesn't say it. So now they're stressed about it and they didn't have time to finish it. And now they're sending you this email about, like, I wasn't able to finish it during class time. No, there's no need for that. But if you are still kind of like keeping the same structure, or maybe you're not keeping the same structure as you did in the classroom, but you're keeping a structure, knowing what to expect, but because you're kind of keeping the lines of communication open, they don't have to be worried about getting in touch with you.
Absolutely right. It's setting those clear expectations. And I think, you know, for those that are experimenting with new technology, new resources, new ways of assessing students, there's so much beauty in that, right? You're trying new things, you're exploring new options. But for a lot of students, it's brand new as well. And it comes with a lot of uncertainty. And for those that maybe aren't performing as well as they would be in the traditional classroom setting, you know, it's just a lot of newness. And it's important to just be extremely clear as far as what your expectations are as a teacher and what it is that your students should be aware of. So that was something I think we're both on the same page with that, Danielle, and I just think it was worth highlighting. So one other thing that I wanted to get your feedback on, and something that I'm personally just struggling with on what feels like a daily basis, is attendance.
Yeah.
So I have every period is required to sign in for attendance, and oh my goodness, you just have those stragglers every, you know, it's just a couple, and then it's, you know, it seems to be kind of the same students, and it's just, you know, then it's an email, then it's an email to the parent, then it's back and forth. It's, how are you managing that?
I think every school has maybe different expectations of what attendance means. So I have like a note that I copy and paste, and I also have like an email template that goes to both student, and like you said, it has to be to both student and parent, at least in my school. So I understand the time-consuming nature of that.
So it sounds like we have our in-person class time covered, our real-time communication with our students, and keeping those procedures super clear, expectations super clear. And it's time to set our own expectations for ourselves as teachers. And that comes to our after school, actually ending the day, closing that computer, maybe not quite just yet, but trying our best to really differentiate what it means to have that work day, that school day, and just being back in your living room.
There is a specific minute when the final bell rings, so to speak. That's probably not the exact minute that you close your computer, because that wouldn't be the minute you'd be able to walk out of the school building.
Exactly. So when we think about the stacks of paper that normally lie on our teacher desk at the end of the day, and what we normally have to run to all the different locations in school to make copies and bring folders to and from, it's a matter of getting that set up for your next school day. Because as you mentioned, Danielle, your mornings look a little bit different, and I'm sure you're not alone in that. There's a lot that happens on any given virtual school day morning, and it shouldn't be left to, you know, right before that virtual bell rings for you to feel like you're totally prepared. You know, we know better than that, and we certainly want to set ourselves up for success. So when it does come to the tasks that you normally do in your classroom that you're now doing maybe at your kitchen table, how do you approach that, Danielle? What's your normal after school routine
look like? That. So my first step, make sure that the homework is posted in all of the places, and that, especially in this situation, that any mints or links or whatever end in good working condition.
Yep, always going back to those deadlines. I mentioned it before, it's worth mentioning again. It's so important. And it's something that it's really our main line of communication is keeping those deadlines super clear. And I couldn't agree more, having everything really, really visible on Google Classroom, whatever your site looks like.
Next step, again, just like it would be if I was at school, my electronic gradebook, because they don't have casual interaction in order to gauge if they're getting it. So I think this is even more important now.
Well, those sound like two great manageable tasks that I think most teachers are likely doing as well. I know I myself, it's something that I continue to just have to get a little end of day motivation, just like I would in my traditional classroom setting, just getting things set up for the next day.
I like to make sure that I've checked my school email for anything that's come in the day that wasn't like a during class time issue.
So true. I've seen a lot of teachers post about this, having office hours that their school has encouraged them to hold, usually after the school day is over, or what would have been their lunch block, or, you know, a free period during the day. And it does make me question whether or not that'd be a good way to sort of navigate the question and answer kind of part that I wouldn't normally get with students. And usually that's done via some kind of audio or video chat. So just kind of fruit for thought, because I certainly feel you with that. It's, you know, you want students to be asking things in real time. And a lot of it, you know, students are moving at their own pace, as we mentioned before. And sometimes they're not working on the task that you've asked them to complete until it's 11:35 at night. So when it comes to that after school kind of procedure, I think it is very much related to the before school procedure. It's trying your best to prioritize what needs to get done in order to make the following class periods or school day a success. And that's really what it's all about. And I think that now that we have had a few weeks of this, depending on where you're listening to this from, you've had some time to make those adjustments and really start to work through what it is that is a priority for your students, maybe for the parents that are asking you for certain things, and listening to those community members. And, you know, we all are learning together and adapting together. And, you know, I've just really tried my best to listen to what the students, the parents, my colleagues are communicating about, and just really trying to implement that into the way that I approach my classroom and my school day. It's been a real change, Danielle. It's been a challenge.
But I will say that I look back at the original before leaving school daily checklist, there's an entire section of this that you can cross off because we are in a situation. So there are, in fact, some advantages.
I think that we're both doing our best to really approach this with an open mind and recognize the things that make us feel good as teachers in a traditional classroom setting are still the same things that make us successful teachers virtually. And I do want to give a shout out to last week's podcast episode featuring our friend Kara Piper. We got such wonderful feedback from the listeners regarding this episode and the ways that, you know, there's a lot of information out there about how to make virtual classrooms work in, you know, older elementary and secondary settings. And a lot of people were applauding Kara for her efforts in working with really, really young kids, and how she was able to adopt these really great methods for teaching virtually with really young elementary schoolers. So I just thought that that was definitely worth shouting out. Again, it was a great podcast episode last week featuring Kara Piper. Definitely worth a listen. And
I think we're going to be referencing that episode even more in next week's episode. So make sure you tune in.
That sounds great.
If you'd like to learn more about us and the services that we offer, head to everything.com.